recording, and we need to call the complainant, correct?
Correct.
Have you remained silent there? I'll let you know when it is your turn. We are on section number 3, informal interviews. Item number 2, in regards to Kelsey Hall, DVM. This is the time and place scheduled for the informal interview of Dr. Hall in case number 2448. This matter will be heard by the board pursuant to the authority given to it at ARS 322234. Dr. Hall and your attorney, Mr. Stoll, please come forward and introduce yourself for the record.
Good afternoon, I am Dr. Kelsey Hall.
And David Stoll, appearing as Dr. Hall's attorney of record.
Great, thank you. Dr. Hall, you have received a letter informing you of the matters to be discussed today and the possible actions the board may take at this informal interview. As a reminder, those options include dismissal, issuing you a non-disciplinary letter of concern, censuring you, placing your license on probation with terms that may include continuing education and practice restrictions. The board may also suspend your license for up to 30 days, assess a civil penalty, or refer this matter to a formal hearing. The purpose of this informal interview is to inquire into the facts and circumstances of this case. The board has read all of the materials you have submitted. If you have any additional materials you would like to present to the board, please do so now.
We have no additional material.
Okay. This proceeding is being digitally recorded. As a result, it is important that everyone speak loudly and clearly and that only one person speaks at a time. We will begin by asking the lead board member assigned to this matter to give a brief summary of the case, and then you will be given an opportunity to respond. Following your response, the board may wish to ask you some questions. If present, the complainant will also be given an opportunity to address the board. If you have any questions for the board or anyone giving information during this interview, you may direct those through me. Let's see here. Ms. Dr. Wright, can you please give us a brief summary of this case?
Yes, thank you. On July 15th, 2023, Dante, a 12-year-old male domestic short-haired cat, was presented to respondent for lethargy, anorexia, and weight loss. Blood work was performed, and the cat was provided supportive treatment until the blood results were obtained. The cat improved slightly, blood results revealed mild changes in elevated pancreatitis indicators. Respondent had concerns for an underlying issue. On July 19th, 2023, the cat was presented to respondent for treatment for the cat's, or as the cat's condition was regressing. The cat was foaming at the mouth and provided the oral medications. After evaluation, repeat of supportive treatment was administered to the cat. An ultrasound was recommended and an appointment was scheduled for August 7th, 2023. On July 22nd, 2023, complainant reported that the cat was coughing and foaming at the mouth. Staff recommended that the cat be taken to an emergency facility for care as they may have ultrasound capabilities and respondent was not available. The next morning, the cat was presented to an emergency facility. The cat was examined and a brief ultrasound found pleural and peritoneal effusion and then enlarged kidney. Heart failure and neoplasia were discussed as possibilities. Treatment versus euthanasia was discussed. Complainant elected to humanely euthanize the cat.
Okay. Thank you. Dr. Hall, at this time, I would like to swear you in. Do you swear or affirm that the evidence you are about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you, Dr. Hall. We would now like to give you an opportunity to respond to the summary and present whatever information you believe is relevant.
So I understand that when you review the investigative committee's unanimous recommendation that this complaint be dismissed with no violation, you moved the case to this informal interview because you had some questions as to why there was a delay in performing an ultrasound, and one of you had questions as to why no radiographs were taken initially. As you can see from the medical record, radiographs were offered on that repeat examination day and they were declined. This is factually what happened regarding the case in regards to the diagnostic recommendations. On July 19th, during the phone call with the owner, I explained imaging is now what is recommended as the next steps, and that the only option we had to do that day were radiographs. I went over the full cost of radiographs with a telemedicine review. However, I also emphasized to the owner that while radiographs were an available diagnostic tool to us, they may not provide the most sensitive or comprehensive information, especially in a case like this. I then went over the cost of an internal medicine specialist to come to our facility and perform the ultrasound and consultation. I told the owner that if she wanted radiographs that day, they could be done, but based on those radiographic findings, we may need to then schedule the ultrasound as well. I further advised her, and I quote unquote, If you need to be more careful with resources, let's do his supportive care today, syringe injection and additional fluids, and hold those funds for his ultrasound. I did go back and listen to that whole conversation to retrieve those quotes. And in response to that discussion, she responded with, okay, okay, agreeing to start the diagnostic process with sending out to schedule for the ultrasound. I offered Caroline a second time during that call if she feels strongly about wanting to do radiographs that day, we could, but I did believe the ultrasound to be the better diagnostic tool if we needed to select one. After she selected to go with the ultrasound, I told her that we would start communicating with Dr. Foy's scheduling team and get back with her as soon as possible with available dates, and told her that our team or myself would call in and check in again to follow up. The discussion about these radiographs is noted in the medical record that day, which reads OD RADS today and OLX abdominal ultrasound. I personally called the owner the next day, Thursday, July 20th. She reported that the patient was drinking water but was showing less interest in his food that I had prescribed for him than his ID. She also did say, and I quote, "He has not bounced all the way back, but I feel like he is probably getting better," unquote. I informed the owner that we did have a message out to the doctor that does those ultrasounds, but we have not heard back yet. It is normal for it to take 1 to 3 business days to get these schedulings done. On Saturday, July 22nd, we still did not have any dates back from Dr. Foy's office about the ultrasound, but there is documentation in the medical record that the owner had called on this day, and since we didn't have an ultrasound day yet, and the owner was now concerned with new presenting clinical signs, we recommended he be taken to an emergency center for an exam and hopefully to get an ultrasound as soon as possible. As also noted in the medical record, the owner on that day was given referral information for 2 separate facilities to try to get the patient seen, and the patient's lab work that we had performed was sent to the owner via her email. On July 23rd, our hospital was closed. This was a Sunday. On Monday, July 24th, we did hear back from Dr. Foy's office saying that they had available to schedule us for August 7th. However, before contacting the owner that day, I looked more into what had happened over the weekend, seeing the records and the medical records about the referral and the decline of the patient clinically. So before contacting the owner with those dates, we did see and get records from Blue Pearl, where the patient had ultimately been seen and euthanized over the weekend. A sympathy card was then created by myself and sent to the owner, and Dr. Foy's office was alerted to schedule or to cancel that scheduled ultrasound that they had available on the 7th. So radiographs were in fact offered and declined during that telephone conversation that we had had on the 19th. They were declined in favor of scheduling the ultrasound, which was the more sensitive diagnostic tool. However, ultimately, we were never able to get that done at our office via referring with a change in clinical picture to a more urgent availability. So I'm now available to answer any other questions or concerns you may have.
Great, thank you. Do any board members have questions for Dr. Hall?
Yeah, I just had a couple questions around the ultrasound itself.
Yeah.
So what was the first day that you had called Dr. Foy's office?
Dr. Foy's office, so we don't call to schedule. She has a system where we actually send a message.
Okay.
So her office, that would have been sent the end of Wednesday evening, so the 19th or first thing on the 20th.
Okay, and you heard back on, trying to look at this and see your back.
The 24th.
Is on there. Okay, and do we normally schedule ultrasounds out like a week and a half? I haven't seen a schedule that long.
I do feel that August 7th, when she got back with that availability, is longer than what we even normally deal with her. So I think if that had been the case and this patient was still needing care, we would have had a discussion on other options.
Did you check into other options to see if someone else could have come in before with an ultrasound?
At that point, because that is our primary person that we do our referrals with. And again, 1 to 3 days in an at that time stable and even improving patient is not an unreasonable time, in my opinion, to wait for the response. However, the 7th was farther than what I would have expected.
All right.
Yeah, and the patient ended up being euthanized a couple of days after. Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you. That was my questions around the ultrasound.
What radiographs are we talking about here?
So at that point, they would have been abdominal radiographs because the cat's only presenting complaint was hyporexia and ADR.
And in your exam, there was a pulmonary system totally normal.
I'm sorry.
Respiratory system totally normal.
Completely normal, and even heart was sculpted extra, to be able to make sure heart sounds were heard clear and yes, all normal.
Can you describe in a little more detail your discussions with the owner regarding the differences between the radiographs and the ultrasound and what we could, the information we could get.
So basically, I did go over with her both options and cost of both options. I went over how in certain situations some imaging can be a little bit more specific. I didn't get into the details of all the disease processes of what could be more specific in one imaging versus another.
Okay.
But I did tell her that I was worried that we wouldn't get answers on x-ray, and then we would then need to schedule the ultrasound regardless.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. Any other questions by board members? Okay. Hearing none, you may both step back.
Thank you.
We will now hear from the complainant, who is on the phone. So, Ms. Caroline, I would like to swear you in now.
Okay.
Do you swear or affirm that the evidence you are about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, I do.
Okay, thank you. And obviously, you're the complainant in this case. We have read the materials that you have provided. So you don't necessarily need to repeat anything that was in there, but you now have time to address the board.
Okay. I got to say, I can't wait for this to be over. I brought my cat in to one of these vet offices that had just opened in my neighborhood, and I'm seeing these places all over my community. He'd never had a health problem before. I understand he was 12 years old, but I brought him in and they ran a bunch of tests and there was no definitive answer. She indicated to me that his pancreas levels were a little high. I'm a layman, I'm a real estate agent. I'm not a vet. I'm not a medical professional. I took him home and he was foaming at the mouth and he's never done that. They had him come back and they had him an entire afternoon. When I took him to the other clinic, and by the way, nobody said to take him to an emergency vet. I did that on my own. At any rate, when I got him there, from a physical examination, the vet told me that she could feel tumors in him. And then she told me that the foaming of the mouth was fluid in his lungs. And that's what made me file the complaint. I watched my cat foam at the mouth for days and days and days. And I don't understand how that wasn't caught. I can understand the difference between an MRI and an x-ray and, you know, his kidney stuff probably wasn't seen. Even the tumors maybe weren't seen. I can understand all that. What I can't understand is watching my cat suffer with foam in his mouth. I called this vet clinic, and I also understand it wasn't the vet that answered the phone. However, the woman that did answer the phone giggled and said, "Oh, cats just do that. Foam at the mouth," she meant. Obviously, I was very upset that I had to put my cat down. I spoke with my neighbors about what had happened. This place had just opened, and I was encouraged to make a complaint. Because like I had mentioned before, these vet places are popping up all over the valley, and everybody I know is complaining about the lack of service that they're getting. It says hospital. It should say grooming, in my opinion. I feel that, again, not to repeat myself, but fluid in the lungs of a cat in a vet office for an entire afternoon that wasn't caught seemed grossly negligent. And I wanted the money for that day refunded. And the doctor, the veterinarian, was patronizing and rude and denied giving me my money back, which I thought was a very fair thing to ask. So here we are. I really don't have much else to say about it. I really just kind of want to put this behind me. But going forward, I think if you're going to charge an exorbitant amount of money, I think the service level needs to be higher. I know that if I treated my clients this way, I wouldn't have any.
Okay.
So that's all I got to say.
Okay.
You guys have any
Thank
questions?
You.
You're welcome.
Do the board members have any questions for Ms. McAdam?
I don't have any questions for you. Okay. Sorry for your loss.
Yes, we're sorry.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
So thank you, Caroline. So now, again, I'm just going to have you remain silent for the rest of the this discussion, okay?
Sure.
Okay, great. So, Dr. Hall, do you or your legal counsel have any additional remarks you would like to add?
Ms. McGavin, this is David Stoll, and my client and I also extend our sympathies to you for your loss. Doctor, did you ever have a discussion with this owner about a refund?
We never spoke about an actual refund. I did call her post this case concluding to try to be able to touch base with her, make some connections as to why I made the recommendations that I did. That was not a productive conversation that Ms. McAdams ended on me. But no talk of a refund was done.
I went physically into the veterinary office and asked for a refund.
Okay, anyway. Caroline, sorry, remember this.
I apologize.
Okay, thank you.
I think the point I was trying to make was if she had such a conversation, it was not with my client that she came back to you. Yeah, go ahead and address that.
I was going to say on the 22nd, when she said she took her patient or her cat to an emergency center, we have recordings that I have reviewed of we did absolutely recommend that she take her patient. We gave her the address of two different locations, and that's when we emailed her her lab work. That was absolutely a recommendation from us on the 22nd.
And, you know, this is a sad case with a sad ending, and it's always frustrating when you bring a patient in and you don't get a definitive diagnosis, but that's why we have diagnostics. And diagnostics were recommended on the day that the had presented, and those diagnostics included radiographs or ultrasound, and the owner elected to pursue ultrasound. Unfortunately, they don't have on-site immediate ultrasound capabilities, not all practices do, and so it had to be referred out. And then 3 days post this appointment, after the first day when the owner reported that the pet had improved, then the pet declined, that's when the referral was made to the ER, and the pet never got that opportunity to have the ultrasound, but it wasn't because of the referral was not made. The appropriate workup was done, the appropriate diagnostics were recommended to the owner, and unfortunately, the pet declined during the interim before it could be seen by a third-party ultrasound. Is there anything else you want to add?
No, I mean, the only other thing to add is that she is discussing this foaming at the mouth. That is not something I ever saw on her cat, whether it was during the appointment or when I did have the cat dropped off during my surgery day. That is not something I ever saw. And that was something listed with the phone call with my staff on the 22nd that I reviewed. She had stated he had foamed once post Allura medication and then never again until the 22nd, where he did it not associated with medication and with the new symptom of coughing. So those were stated as new findings on the 22nd.
And that's when the referral.
And that was when the referral to emergency was made that day.
Thank you.
Okay. Are there any other questions from board members? Okay. Thank you. This concludes the portion of the informal interview in which the board hears testimony. The board will now deliberate and decide what to do in this matter. Dr. Wright, if you want to lead.
Yeah, thank you. Again, I always kind of start these things off by saying it's just a complicated case just with an unfortunate outcome. That's kind of where we're at right now, and we just need to discuss kind of how we got to that point and see if there's any issues going on. When I look at the exams and kind of what was done, I don't necessarily find a fault in the medicine or anything that was done. The blood work was done. We did a BNP. Yeah, it came back high, but that's nowhere near the high threshold for heart disease in cats. So it's like, yeah, that's an ambiguous high. So I mean, we can't even say based on that alone. I think, like I said, the ultrasound was the kind of crux of the matter. I think that's going to be the most important diagnostic test, and everything kind of centers around that. Now, what could be done with that information is the question. I mean, were we going to end up with the same result? And in my opinion, probably most likely. Is that length of time an actual issue or not? I mean, if it was me personally, I would have called a couple other places. I don't care if that's my primary one. If you can't get me in for a while, I have no loyalty to you either. So, I mean, again, did that change the outcome? No, not in my opinion. I don't think it really would have. Would it have been nicer to have the information sooner? Yeah, but I'm not seeing an actual statute violation here. So I'd like to see input from everybody else on the board, what your thoughts are. But I think this is just one of those unfortunate cases.
Yeah, I think, like, waiting for that ultrasound, it's, in hindsight, you're like, wow, we could have had that sooner. But again, that was a workup for an abdominal issue. Mm-hmm. So we wouldn't have even been doing an ultrasound on the thoracic area. So that it probably still would have been not actually diagnosed what the real problem was with Dante. So, it, you know, it's difficult because we presented with one set of clinical signs, and then all of a sudden something significantly different arose. So whether or not those initial clinical signs were because something was brewing, but as we know, cats are not fantastic at revealing when they have issues, not like the poor dog who's like, oh my goodness, I stubbed my toe, I'm gonna complain about it. So, you know, the cats do make things a little bit more difficult for us as practitioners. So, I mean, I would be in agreement. I didn't see anything that was in violation of the statute. I think it was just a case that started and presented it in one way and then drastically went the other, which nobody wants to work on that case, and nobody wants to be the owner who has a case like that either.
And unfortunately, as veterinarians, we're all going to see that case again.
Yes.
Especially in cats.
And I think we would have had the opportunity to call another sonographer should symptoms have been declining, but at the point of symptoms decline, they went to emergency mm-hmm. for that. So I don't know, at the time that we got the original date of so far out, at that time the cat was stable. Do you know what I mean? So like,
yeah.
I can see having a concern with it being so far out and not calling other sonographers if the cat was declining. But at that time, the cat wasn't declining until later, and then they went to emergency and it's over, right? So it's kind of a hard timing issue, I think, on that one.
Yes. I could radiographs have been done that day?
They could have been done that day, yes.
And to, I am a lay person, not a DVM. So would radiographs have detected the cardiopulmonary situation?
It depends on if they did a catagram or a proper diagnostic x-ray in which you only focus on the area of interest.
Yeah. I mean, so it's, and every cat heart's always in my mind, especially as they get older, just every single one, because it seems like it likes to pop up stuff all the time. But yeah, it's you're kind of focusing on what you see. But I have had ultrasonographers come in and they check the belly and they're like, well, let's just look at the heart real quick. I mean, they'll just do a quick thing. And that's a lot of times you'll find these happenstance things. Like I said, I don't see anything bad medically here. I mean, I think calling around and trying to do a little more legwork on scheduling an ultrasound, in my opinion, would have been a better option. I mean, that's not a failing of statute. That's just what I usually do.
Okay.
So based on everything,
So is that a motion?
Can we just add real quick with the appetite stimulant? So I know that, you know, the complainant was concerned because, you know, she's seeing her cat having this frothing, and
yes.
It was mentioned that that could happen, and that definitely could happen. In the other veterinarian's experiences, when you do have a cat with the pulmonary issues that this kitty had, what's the time frame in which you see having some froth? And like, you know, we had some frothing from the mouth when we first started giving the appetite stimulant, but it could have changed from being just a reaction from the medication to now all of a sudden we are at a point where that is the froth from the pulmonary issue. So it may not have been initially from that pulmonary issue, given that it was a few days before, mm-hmm. and that pulmonary issue changed so quickly to cause that. So I just wanted to have a little clarification for the owner.
No, and I think thank you for bringing that up, because yeah, when you do give cats medication by mouth, it is very common to see them salivating. That's why we always say get it back further on the tongue. And I hate to say it, but in veterinary medicine, it's something that a lot of us chuckle about because it's expected in cats. So I feel bad that the complainant heard from the receptionist kind of chuckle saying, oh, that happens. Unfortunately, we do see that a lot. I hope she doesn't take offense to that, because
that.
Yeah, because kitty cats do salivate when you look at them cross-eyed. that is something we see, and I hope she didn't take offense to that, because I can guarantee that's not what the receptionist meant. It's just
right.
Something we see, and then we have to wipe off our clothes. I agree. There's a lot of confounding things going on here, but I don't think anything would have changed the ultimate outcome. And again, I don't think anything was missed. I think all the things were done properly. An ultrasound, if it was done earlier, may have given us more information earlier, but I don't think that would have changed the endpoint personally. So based on all that, I make a motion to dismiss with no violation.
Okay.
You
have a motion to dismiss. Is there a second? Motion and a second to dismiss case 2448. There's no further discussion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. The board has voted to dismiss case 2448. This concludes this matter, and Dr. Hall, you will receive written confirmation of the board's action shortly. Thank you all for being here today. If you have any questions, you can direct them to the board's executive director, Victoria Whitmore. Thank you.
Thank you so much.